And joining us on the phone right now from his home in Prescott, Wisconsin, is Zach Simoness. Zach, thanks so much for joining us on the Roadhouse this evening.
Absolutely. Glad to be on.
I should let people know, first of all, Zach is a high school senior at Prescott High School. Prescott is a town of probably just under 4,500 people, just in western Wisconsin, about a half hour from the Twin Cities. And the reason we contacted Zach was because we read about his efforts to literally lobby the Wisconsin State Legislature and Senate on behalf of legislation prohibiting race-based mascots at Wisconsin high schools. Zach, how did you happen to get involved with this issue in the first place?
Well, my involvement in the issue first stems from a class that I'd taken. It was in our freshman civics class. We talk about as an intro to tribal government. We talk about the issue of race-based mascots, and you're just asked, write a brief little paragraph about what your feelings are on the matter, and then, the next day you express your opinions, and then from there you get a bunch of documents to analyze. And after taking that, and then Native American history class, it's something that I looked at, and just on the surface you can tell, wait a minute, something's not right here. And then you delve a little bit deeper into the matter, and you figure out, wow, this is something that needs to be dealt with.
And I need to ask you, first of all, are you native, Zach?
No, okay. I'm not a tribal member. I'm German Irish.
Okay, and so your consciousness was kind of awoken by this class that you took. What then prompted you? No, what was your next step? I mean, I know that you were involved with, was it a protest at the school?
Yes, what it was is, and first, let me say this, because I've gotten a lot of emails from people saying that the only reason I've done any of this is because somehow my, quote, liberal teacher has brainwashed me or anything like that. I'm going to be the first to tell you that's not why I'm doing any of this, and not that you or your listeners are implying that, but that's something that I just want to, get out of the way now.
Got it.
The protest was something that I had organized, where it was, in our conference, we have two, schools that have the, American Indian as a mascot, the Osceola Chieftains and the Baltimore Blackhawks. And what we thought would be a good idea is we had a design sanctioned by the WIEA, which is the Wisconsin Indian Education Association. Which design was, it was, the Indian, the caricature of an Indian in a headdress, and it had a slash through, and it said, "Teach respect, not racism. Indians are people, not mascots." And so what the protest was it was just a group of students wearing those T-shirts during a basketball game in which we played a team, the Chieftains.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said earlier, the population of the town that I live in is a little under 4,500, and there's about 360 around that in my high school, and roughly a third of the student body bought and wore T-shirts for that event. So it was hugely successful.
So they had to buy the T-shirt as well as wear it.
Yeah,
that's amazing. How did you get the Wisconsin Indian Education Association involved, Zach, in terms of getting those T-shirts?
Well, I've had some contacts who are involved in the WIEA. Mrs. Barb Munson, who is the head of the Indian Logo Task Force, Harvey Gunderson, and numerous people, also people at the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, which is similar, I think, to the Minnesota Department of Education.
Sure.
Yeah, yep, it's exactly the same thing, just different name. And they were happy to give me this design that they had made for their Indian Logo Task Force committee.
I see.
And
excuse me, go ahead.
The shirts were about, you know, they were about $10, and this is something that I also want to, you know, get out of the way, because a lot of people, when I first did this, thought I was doing it for money, which the shirts were, you know, the cost of the shirts were $10. I made 17 cents profit.
You capitalist, you.
Exactly. You know, it's all the profit motive.
Yeah. Now, so, I want to remind our listeners, we're visiting with Zach Simonis, who from Prescott High School in Prescott, Wisconsin. Zach, from this protest that you had at a high school, was it a foot or basketball game? Mm-hmm. How did you get from there to lobbying the Wisconsin legislature on behalf of a bill that would that could potentially outlaw those race based names?
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I have some contacts within the Department of Public Instruction, within the Wisconsin Indian Education Association, people that have been involved in this issue a lot longer than I do, and people that know a lot more than I do about this, and I got an email saying that hey, there's a bill coming up in the Wisconsin Assembly, and there's one that's coming up in the state Senate also, and so make sure you call, and it said, you know, like, make sure you call your representative, try and urge them to do this. So I thought, you know, let's do them better than call them. And I and about five other students, this was back last March, March of 2009, the Assembly Education Committee were holding a hearing on this bill. And we said, well, how about we just go down there and testify in front of the Assembly Education Committee? That's what we did. And we did something similar to that in January. The Senate Education Committee was having a hearing on the Senate version of the bill, and I and five other students, not the same ones that went down before, five different students went down, and we testified in front of the Senate Education Committee.
One of the, in the article that I read, talked about the fact that you pointed out that this was a classic case of institutional racism, and that's a fairly sophisticated concept that a lot of people don't understand, but I thought that you really nailed it, because that is a classic example of it. One of the things I was interested in, and it sounds like you've already had to field some pretty tough questions in terms of your response of you're doing it for money and that you've been brainwashed and so forth, and you've had a number of representatives and legislators who have been highly praiseworthy of your efforts. You've had some others that were less so, saying that they really didn't see that as an issue. And one of my questions is has there been Native people involved with this with you as well? Because sometimes if a legislator or other people see, well, okay, here are, and I don't mean this derogatorily, I'm just kind of taking the devil's advocate stance, here are five white kids from, you know, Prescott, Wisconsin. There are no natives with them. Where's the issue? So have you had support from the native population as well?
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, with Prescott doesn't necessarily have a large American Indian population, but like I said, when we went to testify in front of the Assembly Education Committee and the Senate, in front of the Senate Education Committee, there were 60 native people that went down and testified in front of the assembly, or that testified in front of the Senate, excuse me. There was, I think, 30-some that did in front of the assembly, along with a tribal school. The Menominee Tribal School went down there, and they didn't testify, but they went down to show support for the bill when we were there in last March. And so, yeah, absolutely. There's tremendous outcry from the from the Native community of Wisconsin, the Great Lakes Intertribal Council, which is, you know, it's a conglomerate of the tribes within Minnesota, within Wisconsin, within Michigan. They have the position that these mascots need to be gotten rid of. These are offensive. All 11 nations within the state of Wisconsin, the largest number, Wisconsin has the largest population of American Indians east of the Mississippi, and all 11 tribes in Wisconsin have said these need to be gotten rid of. This is offensive. We don't like this.
So, Zach, it sounds like you've done your homework.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now, I could go on for days, but we don't have time.
Well, no, we don't. But let me ask you, one of the things that you most, a person most often hears, and it's interesting, and I'm interested in this because I've tried to do some work on behalf of this in years past, but mm-hmm. one of the things that you most often hear from the people who have got the mascots is, no, you don't understand. We have these names to honor Native Americans or American Indians. How do you respond to that?
Well, see, that is a very common theme. People say, well, no, we're honoring them. We're doing this out of respect. Mm-hmm. There's no malicious intent. We're not doing this to offend anybody. And it really doesn't matter what your intentions are. The fact of the matter is that these people are offended by it. And right. when you have a population, the American Indian population, which represents roughly 2% of the American populace, and I'm rounding up at that,
mm-hmm.
The vast majority of which, a 2002 survey done by the NCAA of all 500-some tribes within the United States showed 99% of American Indians found that race-based mascots are offensive and need to be gotten rid of.
Mm-hmm.
99%. And there's several other polls polls that have been done that state something similar to that. They range anywhere from 86 to, 99. So when you have 2% of a population which are vehemently against the use of these mascots, and the other 98% is essentially dictating to that 2% what honoring is.
Yeah,
they're saying no. This isn't no. We're not offending you. We're honoring you. No, we're honoring you. Even though the other people that you claim to be honoring are saying we're not being honored by this.
They're not listening to the voices of the people who are being affected.
Absolutely not. And what another thing that I would equate to that, and I say this a lot, and I say it to a lot of legislators, and this kind of brings it home is many schools claim that they're honoring American Indians by having these mascots. Well, let's say the tables were turned here. What if instead of the, say Grand Marais had a team that was the Grand Marais Chieftains,
mm-hmm.
or the Grand Marais Redskins? Say instead of that, they had a team, the Grand Marais Blackskins.
Mm-hmm.
And at halftime, instead of having a guy go out there dressed in, playing Indian for the Chieftains, instead of a white guy going out there with face paint and feathers and, mm-hmm. and doing mock war whoops and chants, instead of doing that, the Blackskins would do, what the Grand Marais Blackskins would do is at halftime, a white guy would go out there in blackface
mm-hmm.
and sing Mammy or We Shall Overcome or, give a stirring rendition of an old spiritual.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
People would be disgusted by that, and they should be.
Yeah.
It's a matter of human decency.
You know, we've had a number of, there's an organization out of New Orleans called the People's Institute for Survival and Beyond, and they have, they put them on all over the country, but they put it on workshops. We've had a number of them up here in Cook County on undoing racism. And a lot of the concepts that you talk about from the class that you talked about are right straight out of that. We'd like to invite you up to one of those.
Well, absolutely. That would be tremendous.
Yeah, that'd be great. In the few minutes that we have left, it sounds like, or you indicated that you've heard from a lot of people, not all positively. Well, first of all, the question I want to ask is, has there been in Wisconsin, either a result of your efforts or just on their own, a number of schools that have in fact changed nicknames and mascots?
Well, absolutely. In, I think it was 2000, I want to say 2004, the WIAA issued a statement saying that these slogans, mascots, logos, should be started to phase out. These should be phased out because they don't have a place within our contemporary society. That was a statement by the WIAA, the Wisconsin Athletic Association.
Mm-hmm.
I think from 1992, I want to say, when this issue first started to kind of erupt after there was a whole issue with walleye spearing
right.
In Wisconsin. 29 school districts have changed their mascot. There are currently 36 still left within Wisconsin, and those 36 basically are the ones that are the diehard believers. They will not change unless an order by state proclamation says so, and that's a problem that we have, is because it's you know, an issue where both parties are passing the buck.
Mm-hmm.
The state or the local school boards, many of them actually want to get rid of these mascots simply because they don't want to deal with the controversy anymore.
Sure.
A lot of them want it just to be done with, but they don't want to be the ones to have to get rid of the mascots. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
So they say we're not going to do anything unless the state makes us, because then they have a scapegoat saying, no, it wasn't us. The state did this. This wasn't us.
And therefore the reason to go to the state and have it done, because otherwise without it.
Absolutely. And then the state says, they pass the local school boards pass the buck to the state. The state then says, we're not going to deal with this. This is something that, why should I down in Madison dictate to somebody in Wapaka
sure.
what they have as their mascot?
Yeah.
And so they pass the buck back to the local school boards. And it's just a vicious circle.
So nothing gets done. I know that next year, Zach, you're headed off to a UMD, not very far from our part of
yep.
the world. How do you see your future in terms of this particular issue or the issue of racism? Do you see yourself staying involved with that?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think you can ever quit trying to promote equality and trying to promote trying to get rid of the use of institutionalized racism, because you always have that in our society. There will always be a bit of subversive racism out there. There's overt racism, which is just a guy standing on a street corner, yelling the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
That's overt racism. But there's also, within our culture, subversive racism. Like, say the movie Peter Pan. There's a famous scene in there where they go around singing a song called "What Makes the Red Man Red,"
mm-hmm.
and you watch that when you're a kid, and you don't think anything of it. You think this is fun, this is cute, whatever. And then when you kind of grow up and you see these things, you're like, my God, this is ridiculous that this is allowed. Those are the types of things that need to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
That the cultural acceptance of things like that. So no, I don't see anything. I think the issue may change as far as, 5 years from now, I may not be arguing about race-based mascots. It may be something else. But I can't see myself,
being satisfied with you.
I don't see myself becoming an ex-political advocate.
Yeah, okay. We have been visiting with Zach Simonis, and I hope I've been pronouncing that correctly, Zach.
Simonis, okay,
sorry.
Right.
Simonis, who is a senior at Prescott High School down in Prescott, Wisconsin, and has really done a wonderful job and an almost unbelievable job of organizing students and others on behalf of getting rid of race-based mascots in Wisconsin's high school. I want to thank you again, Zach, for joining us on The Roadhouse.